Okay, today's daf is Shkalim daf Yud Tet. We are at the beginning of the seventh parak at the Mishnah. Meot shenimtzu bein hashkalim l'nedava karov l'shkalim yiplu tshkalim l'dava yiplu l'nedava mechza l'mechza yiplu l'nedava. Okay, so we discussed that there are a lot of different donation boxes. Now we're going to talk about if you find money in between two, how do you know which one it goes to? So if you find money in between the shkalim box and the nedava box, close to the shkalim goes to the shkalim, close to the nedava goes to the nedava. If it's in between, then it goes to nedava. Bein etzim le'levona, karov le'etzim yiplu le'etzim, le'levona yiplu le'levona, mechza le'mechza yiplu le'levona. You find it in between the wood box and the levona box, so if it's close to the wood, it goes to the wood, close to the levona, goes to the levona. In between, it goes to the levona. Bein kinin le'gozle ola, karov le'kinin yiplu le'kinin, karov gozle ola, yiplu le'gozle ola, mechza le'mechza yiplu le'gozle ola. So if it's between the bird pairs and the ola birds, so close to one goes to that one, close to the other goes to the other, and if it's in the middle, then it goes to the gozle ola. Bein chulin le'maser sheni, so you find it between chulin money and maser sheni money, karov le'chulin yiplu le'chulin, le'maser sheni yiplu le'maser sheni, mechza le'mechza yiplu le'maser sheni. So if it's in between, it goes to maser sheni. Zeh klal, here's the general rule, holchin achar karov le'hakel, mechza le'mechza le'hachmir. So we can be lenient. If it's closer to one, we're lenient and we assume that it comes from that one, even if that's the more, even if that's the lower level of Kedusha. However, if it's in the middle, then we're machmir, and we assume that it belongs to the one of higher level Kedusha. Lo hutrechu de lo ben shkalim lekenim. Rabbi Avon b'shem Rabbi Pinchas kamin buchlayar hayu asuyin. So the Gemara asks the question, you know, the shkalim box is next to the kenim box, right? And the nedava box, well, you know, that's relatively far away. Why is it that we asked between, if you find it between the shkalim and the nedava? We should have asked, you know, the more basic question of between shkalim and the Kenin box, which is right next to it. And Rabbi Avon answered that it was made in something of a circular type of shape, in which case the nedava was on the opposite side of the shekel. So I mean, it's just as close as the Kenin. Because in a circle, obviously the first box is going to be as close to the last box as it is to the second box. Okay. Mechza mechza yiplu nedava, lo tzurcha de lo mechza mechza yiplu lishkalim. We said that if they're in between, you should go by the more machmir use. Isn't that shkalim? Isn't shkalim the more machmir use out of the two? Out of the shkalim and nedava? Eat the bayim emer shemi yiplu l'shayr el lishka, eat the bayim emer mechza mechza kimi she met. So some say that the concern of giving it to shkalim is that if it's not given on time, it's going to go to the lishka, and that's going to be a more lenient use, which is very possible that it's going to end up there, and that's why it's considered more lenient. Others say that if it's in between them, we treat it like a shekel of someone who died, which does in fact go to the nedava, in which case that's why it would go to the nedava. Amar v'yasa ad da'ana tamon shamit kal Rav Yehuda shal l'shmuel hifrishik l'lumei amar la yipul nedava. Right, as we saw, that when Rabbi Yassa says that when he was in Bethel, he heard Rabbi Yehuda asking Shmuel what happens with someone who separated his shekel and then died, and Rabbi Yehuda responded that it goes to Medava. Motar sirita eifa shelo. Rabbi Yochanan amar yolchim le'am amelech. Rabbi Lazar amar yiplu le'nedava. Right, and a similar ruling when it comes to the Kohen Gadol's sirita eifa. If he dies, then zmachloket. Rabbi Yochanan says that you discard it in the sea, and Rabbi Lazar says that that is well false to the nedava offering. The kashya v'yesh chatat kriva ola. That's difficult because if the bird pairs get sent off as a bird ola, it's difficult because do you ever have a korban chatat which can be transformed into a korban ola in like this case? Right? How is this supposed to work? Chizki v'shem rishim and lakish. Yeah, but from the outset they make a stipulation that that the remnants of the korban chatat will be brought as an ola, right? So if you make this stipulation at the, you know, when you separate it, then it can be transferred to an ola. But at the end of the day, a woman, you know, brought her bird pairs to get kapara, and they weren't brought. So how can we ever see it as if she got kapara? Right, that also is a condition the Beit Din sets up, that whoever is, you know, working with the Beit HaMikdash to provide the bird pairs, they provide them, and if you find that you're lacking any, meaning at the end of the day, if you know that, you know, 10 women brought their bird pairs and you only have 9 in there, well then those who are, you know, working with the Beit HaMikdash but providing the bird pairs, they're responsible for making up what's lost and bringing another set of birds, and so that's how that woman would get kapara. Lo tzurcha de lo bein ola le'etzim levona lezav le'chaporet. Right, so seemingly we should be asking a couple other questions here, right? What about between the ola and the etzim and the lavona for the and the lavona between the, if it falls between the lavona and the service vessels? I mean, we didn't really ask all the questions we could have asked here. Yeah, we didn't ask the question because we kind of, well, we taught the general rule that if it's in between, you know, you go by what's closer, and then if it's in between, you go by what's machmir. So we didn't need to teach every case. New Mishnah, Me'ot Shenimtzu Lifnei Sochare Behema Le'olam Meiser. So if you find money before animals, before the people who are selling animals, presumably they're using Meiser Sheni money to buy those animals, and so presumably what was done very often is leftover Meiser Sheni money would be used on Korban Shlomim. So the people selling those animals, it's very likely that the money in front of them was Meiser Sheni money, that someone bought an animal from them. So you have to assume if there's money before them, it's Meiser Sheni money. However, if you find it on Harabayit, you can assume that it is chulin. It's not sanct, it's not Kodesh money. Yerushalayim, now what if you find it in Yerushalayim, lav dafka, in front of a behema, not in front of a behema salesperson, but also not on Harabayit. So normally it would be considered chulin, but at the time of the regalim, you can assume that it's meiser, because that's when everyone is coming in with their meiser sheni money. Okay, so if you find meat in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, so if you find just limbs, then you can assume that they were part of a korban ola, and if you find, you know, cuts of meat, then you have to assume that it's part of a korban chatat. In either event, you have to wait till they change their form a little bit, because if they're still kodesh and fit to be brought, then you can't burn them as is. So you have to wait till their form changes a little bit by leaving them out, then you take them out to burn. Nimtza begvul, and if you find them outside Yerushalayim, ifarim nevela chaticha mutar. So the limbs are considered to be a nevela, but if you find cuts of meat, then you can assume that they are kosher. Pshat regel habasem meruba af ifarim mutarot. Right, and if and during the regel, when there's a lot of, when kosher meat is in, you know, plentiful supply, then you can even assume that the limbs are kosher. Lo tzorcha de lo behar habayit kodesh. How is it that we're considering the money on Har Habayit to be chulin? We should probably assume it's kodesh, no? Rabbi Baba, Rabbi Chia, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Chazak Hashem Kohen, Motzi min alishka meod adjum chalhan abahima. No, because we assume that Kohanim are very diligent. We don't assume that they're taking out money that's kodesh and just leaving it around. Masa shenimtza, okay, we talk about meat that was found lying around. Rabbi Lazar b'shem Rabbi Yoshia, Hisia dat ta'un ibur tzura. In any event where you lose focus on a sack, on the korban meat, and you're not paying attention to it, that's then you have to burn it. You have to wait for it to change its form and then burn it, because you always have to be keeping an eye on it. Rabbi Yoshia Machnita Amraken to Uber to Etovi, it's the way to Sreifa. Seems implicit from our mission as well. Rabbi Yossi Viyot, and this is a proper understanding. La Ochlo in Tayacho Shem in Kalkil Surato, the Shem Ken Sarech Mimar to Uber to Etovi, it's the way to Sreifa. Makes a lot of sense, because you can't eat this because maybe it already underwent some sort of change, in which case you have to burn it. But maybe it didn't undergo a change. So the only reasonable, only logical conclusion is to say that you wait for it to undergo a change for sure, and then you let it, and then you burn it. Nimtza begvulin, so we found meat out in the outside of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Krispa b'shem Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina, Ivarim nevela lokin alein mishum nevela. So when we say that that we assume it's nevela, that the mita there is nevela, you get lashes for eating it, right? Because it's not just like, well, we assume it's nevela because we have a suffix, and but if you eat it, you didn't do anything wrong because we didn't actually know. No, you get nevela. You get lashes for eating it. We really do assume that it's nevela, the kol davar. And this is implicit from our Mishnah. Evarim nevelo chaticho mutaro, chaticho mutaro lo mamash. The kavatei evarim nevelo lokin lehen mishum nevela. Right. So when we say that the meat that we presume the cuts of meat to be mutter, we mean that we really assume them to be mutter, and you're allowed to eat them, and you have no hesitation. In which case, we should really assume that the limbs are nevela, and if you do eat them, we'll give you lashes. Rabbi Krispa, b'shem Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, im hayu macharuzo mutar. Right, if the limbs were strung together, then we assume that they were that they're mutter, that they're kosher. Teisha chanuyo mochrod basar nevela v'achad mocher basar shchuta. If let's say you just have a your town, there are 10 stores that sell non kosher meat and one store that sells kosher meat. Nitchalfu lo choshesh ule nimtzet olchin achar harov. Right, so if you get confused and you're just not sure where you bought it from, then in that case you always have to be concerned, right? But if you just found, meaning you didn't buy meat and then you don't remember where you bought it from, you just found meat lying around, in that case we go by the majority. So in these cases, well, the majority is that it's non-kosher meat. So you have to assume it's non-kosher meat, And so if you weren't paying attention where you're buying it from, then you definitely have to assume it's not kosher meat. So in this case, you assume that both of them are not kosher. But in this case, teishachanuniyot mochro basar shchuta vechad mocher basar neveila nitchalfu lo choshesh lenimtzei holchin achar harov. If there is a majority of kosher butchers and one non-kosher butcher, then so if you don't know where you bought it from, then you have to be concerned regardless. However, if you just find it, then you can presume it comes from the majority, which is kosher. Amar Rabbi Yochanan hanimtza biyad nochri kinimtza bepaltia. And if you find it in a non-Jew's possession, it's like you just found it in the street where you go after the rov. Rabbi Lazar be Rabbi Chagai hava masmich le Rabbi Mana chama alechad armai mikata min susei umapik levra. The following story of Rabbi Chagai, who is Rabbi Mana, who is leaning on Rabbi Chagai for support while they were walking, and they saw a non-Jewish person cutting a piece off of their horse. Cutting like meat off their horse. Amar le hadahi da Amar Rabbi Yochanan hanimtza biyad nochri kanimtza bepaltia. Amar le ken Amar Rabbi Yosi. Rebbe Vehein Shirau Oto Yotze Mekulin Shel Yisrael. So he asked, what? Is it in such a case that Rabbi Yochanan ruled that you can assume that it's kosher meat? Right? Meaning, I can always assume that if it's in non-Jew's hands, that it's a kosher meat, that we go by the majority. And he responded, no, Rabbi Yochanan's ruling is only when you see him walking out of a kosher butcher. Then you can assume that he's carrying kosher meat. Chad Barnash Betziporin Azil Bay Mizbun Kupad Min Tabcha. A certain person in Tzipori who went to buy meat from a butcher. The butcher didn't want to sell it to him. Amar le lechad romai v'ayti le. So he got a certain Roman to go help him out, go buy him meat. Amar le lo nasbit al korche. Amar le v'lav masar nevela yavid le. So the man went back to the butcher and said, ha, I tricked you, right? Didn't I just extract meat from you against your will? Because I just told someone else to go get me meat. And the guy responded to him, well, what, you think I didn't give him nevela? He's a non-Jew. I just gave him nevela meat, right? So that's what you have. You don't have kosher meat. Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishim Rabbi Chanina Maseba Lifnei Rabbi Va'amar Lo Kula Minei Meisam Rekulun Tzipori. Right? So this case came before Rabbi, and they asked, well, can... Do you have to assume now, like this butcher has non-kosher meat, sells non-kosher meat. Do we have to assume now that that all the meat that he sold might be non-kosher? And he said, no, we don't have to assume based on this that anything he sold was non-kosher. Rav Nachat Lutaman, when Rav went to Bavel, Chamton Makilin V'Chamar Alehen, he saw that they were being inappropriately lenient in this matter of presuming the meat to be kosher, and so he made them, he applied a couple of stringencies to them so that they would be a little more careful. Chad Barnash Azil Ba'i Mishizga Iskaput kupte bigo nahara. The person went to wash his meat by the river. The inchitava aziole chazerbai misbina. Right? So, he left some of it behind, and then he went back to go pick it up. Amar le Rav Asurcha Dina Amar Hishatav Nara Vaiti Chori Dinavela Tachtui. Right, so he says, you know what, this meat is us for now, for you. You can't eat from it. Even though you've left it there and you found it there later, you have to assume, you have to be concerned that maybe that meat was washed away and a different meat was placed there, right? Because he's very, very machmir, since he noticed that a lot of people were being makil. Even though it's reasonable to assume that is your meat, because you didn't keep an eye on it the whole time, we're going to be machmir here because people are being too makil. Chad barnash hava mahalich b'shuka ta'in kupad, ata daita v'chatfe minei v'tilkete. So a person was carrying meat, and then a bird swooped down and grasped the meat. Chazar bai mizbeno. So the person went to where the bird went and got his meat back. Amar le Rav asur lecha. So Rav says, no, the meat is asur. Dena amar basar denvela habat teina ve tilkete ve nasvahu ucharana. Could be the bird was also carrying nevela meat, and he dropped that meat and he carried on with yours. Gina shatav zikin. So a river washed away wine containers with kosher wine. Ata uvde kumi Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Elazar, v'amar yichakmun shapya kitrehun. Right, so he said, well, let's see, is there a siman on these things? Right, I mean, Jewish wine owners, sometimes Jewish wine salespeople, sometimes, you know, make unique knots when they tie up their wine jugs. So look, if it's from a Jew and the knots are still intact, then you can assume that it's kosher. Niknune ish Nika ishtakach be chnishta devuli. So a container of wine was found in a bit knesset. Ata uvde kumi Rabbi Yirmiya. Matter came before Rabbi Yirmiya. Amar yitchakmun sa koraya avditun. Right. So you should look for identifying marks on the jugs, because sometimes they make identifying marks with red dye. Gditzli shtakach be isarti de gufta. A roasted goat was found in gufta, in a public area, v'itiru mishum shnei dvar. And they said this was mutter on two reasons, on account of two reasons. Mishum mutzia mishum rov mehalchei drachim. One, on account of a metzia, a found object, you don't have to return it, you can keep it. And second, on account of most travelers there were Jewish or keeping kosher, and so you can assume that it's kosher. Mishum metzia tani amatzil miyad ha'ari miyad ha'gayis. Mishunat hayav, mishunat hanar, umeistra gedola patia gedola, hare elu shalom, mibne shabali, mityashi mehem. Right, how do we know that it's mutter because of a metzia, because of a found object? Well, as we taught, that if you take if you find something from a non-Jewish army or from a lion, like you can, you know, save something that they had taken from a non-Jewish army or from a lion, alternatively, from a river or from a large public area, you can keep all these things that you find there, because you're going to assume that if it was lost in any of these scenarios, that the original owner gave up on it. And when it comes to most travelers, in theory, you could be concerned that it was a non-Jewish person who slaughtered it, but because most of the people traveling there would only have bought from Jewish slaughterers, we can assume that they were that the meat is kosher. Shtakach min debate Rebbe, and in fact, it was found that this meat had come from the house of Rebbe and it was perfectly kosher. We'll stop here.